views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Get fired up for Spirit Fire Radio, your guide to practical mindfulness and meditation. Join hosts Tim Darter and Steve Kramer and discover how to add the mechanics of meditation to your day. Watch yourself connecting in a whole new way and find the amazing moments in life's routines that often pass us by. Add to your awareness with Spirit Fire Radio. Now here's your hosts, Tim Darter and Steve Kramer.
Welcome, I'm Tim Darter.
And I'm Steve Kramer. It is great to be with you today. We are here with a very special guest, Tammy Duncan. And I'm not going to go too deep today into the step of the practice of living awareness. Usually I'll spend the first 5-10 minutes talking about the step of the practice that we're on. This week it is luminous perception. And I can tell you, I just need to close my eyes, think of Tammy, hold Tammy in the space of my mind, and my mind becomes luminous. She just makes me smile. Tammy is the author of an amazing book called Vibrational Healing for Autism, aka Awesome Kids. Tammy, welcome.
Thank you, and thank you for that beautiful introduction. I actually felt that love from you when you just said that. So it's definitely going back and forth.
Palpable. It's indeed palpable. So Tammy, I'm just going to, for our listeners, I'm just the back of your book, which has been in my clutches basically since I got this book. I'm going to say that this book, though it is called Vibrational Healing for Autism, this book is about perceiving life as vibration. This book could be read by anybody, and you will receive insight into so many different modalities and ideas about life as a vibration. And this book is just so inspiring. So I'm just going to give you a little bit of an introduction by just reading a little bit off the back. During her 12-year journey through autism, biomedical interventions, therapies, and Lyme disease, Tammy awakened to her own spiritual gifts, realizing that when she integrated energy healing and spiritual practices into her treatment for herself and her son, big things happened. Tammy, do big things not happen as soon as we put our toe on the path and we start looking at life as this sort of energetic happening all around us? That's basically the key.
Big things, big epiphanies, yeah, and I love that. You stick your toe in it, and it's like you say to the universe, okay, I'm ready to dig through this old crap and release it and bring in this new amazingness, and that's when the synchronicities and the signals and signs from spirit all around you, it's like they all conspire to bring you to your next level of existence. So it's gorgeous.
And so, I mean, let's go straight into it. To bring you to your next level, we've got these awesome kids, not only awesome kids, but awesome people all around us that are opening doorways for everyone to stick their toe on, to see life as this bigger journey. So could you just tell us, awesome kids, awesome people, and autism, tell us about the word awesome.
Yeah. So, you know, mainstream society looks at the concept of autism or kids or adults diagnosed with autism as something less than or something that needs to be fixed or, you know, something that there's wrong with them. But what the kids showed me through my journey, and that was when I opened up to my own gifts and seeing them through a different lens. You know, we can see things on multiple different perspectives. My perspective, your perspective. We can zoom out and see a big picture perspective. But also, what if we looked at things like through divine eyes, through our soul's perspective, which is connected to all things, you know, our oneness state. And so when we zoom out and we step into our oneness state, then we can see something totally different. Not a child that can't read or write or talk. Not a child that's pacing or causing havoc in the grocery store, has different behaviors and things. We can tune into them at their soul level. And that's when I'm like, they are so awesome, because their souls are like reaching out to us to connect with them, to feel their divinity. And it's like, when you connect at the heart level with a child or adult diagnosed with autism, a couple things happen. When you come with a heart that is there at the vibration of unconditional love, what I call this Christ consciousness state, then you can see and feel them at their highest state, their divinity. And it feels as if you are in the presence of God. It feels like you are in the presence of angels. Your soul begins to vibrate at a state of, I know you, there you are, I'm home. Mm-hmm. And that's what I want people to understand, that your eyes, what they give you when you are around a child diagnosed with autism, is an illusion. That's not who they are. That's what they're showing you in your 3D reality, because they want you to learn something.
Yeah, this happens time and time again in the book, that you get this idea and you present this truth, this absolute, as you would say, sacred truth, that they are mirrors, that oftentimes what we are seeing is actually our own limitation. Not that they are limited in any way, but we have created a scenario where limitation is intrinsic, and you've got to remove that. You've got to get beyond that.
Yeah, exactly. So like if a child is, you know, being very angry and aggressive, what I ask the parents or the therapist or the teachers or whoever is seeing that to go in within themselves and say, where does that exist within myself that I'm not dealing with that? Mm-hmm. So coming through as, and I call them master teachers, because that is a master teaching lesson. That's a teaching moment. Wow, where does that exist with me? And what's so funny is, you know, I've been around like in physical with this one boy, and I was talking to his mom, and he was pacing and repeating words over and over that made no sense. They call scripting is what that's called, when they're repeating a line and it's just over and over. And I was working to try to tune in, and as when I said something to the mom, all of a sudden the boy looked at us, both of us, in our eyes. He went to me and then went to her, and he says, finally you get it. And then he stopped his pacing and stopped his scripting. And so it was like I wasn't getting the message, but then when I finally hit the message that he wanted to give by showing his behavior, then he stopped the behavior. He stopped the thing, you know. And it was typically, most of the time, it's always about asking us to turn in and look into our own selves. Because what the purpose of them even being here on this earth at this time is to assist in the raising of consciousness of humanity. And there's no doubt in my mind about that. I keep being given that over and over and over again, because if they're asking us to look within and understand things deeper. So like if a child is nonverbal and they have to do work with different people, they're constantly trying to give, you know, help them have speech and all that, but the child's just digging their heels in and not wanting to speak. What one boy, beautiful boy named Alex, told me, he goes, look it, what is it that I have to do? What is it that the people that work with me have to do and shift in their own beliefs, in their own energy, in their own heart, in order to reach through and communicate with me and hear me even without words? They have to shed so many different belief systems, so many, such like walls around their heart to be in an open space, to be able to connect with that child. So there's many kids that are like, yeah, I'm not going to talk. You can try to throw all the speech therapy and all the stuff that you want with me, but I'm not going to do it because I can teach more from the state that I'm in this body. So many kids are perfectly happy being master teachers in a body that to our three-dimensional world looks injured or sick or whatever, because that's the body they've chosen to be in at this moment. And I always say energy is always in motion. So just because they're in that state now doesn't mean in 10 years they're going to be in that state. Like my son is recovered from autism. He was in a state like that when he was younger, but now he's moved through that and he comes out as a different kind of teacher, as a different kind of lesson holder for humanity, as somebody that was more in that state to pull me into this so that then I could go and be a big mouth and scream at the top of my lungs about the divinity of the kids. So, yeah. I can keep going forever if you want.
We just lost you for just a millisecond right there at the end. That was the pause you were feeling. Anyway, what I wanted to say is that, first of all, I want to say that, Tim, I'm sorry, but I'm going to take over this conversation. I have a tendency to do that when I get really excited, but I just can't help myself because it's so juicy, this conversation, in that we... You know, we right away want to fix a situation. We just want to go right to it and we want to fix it. And what you are doing is turning this whole situation on its ear. You are just creating a whole new paradigm and a whole new approach system to something that so drastically needs a new approach. And within that, there is so much that we are getting a lens to, not only within ourselves, what is compassion? What is heart? What is empathy? But on a major scale, we're also taking a look at the educational system. We're looking at schools and the very fact that schools have become cookie cutters. Well, kids are individuals. We all are individuals. And maybe education needs an overhaul. We're looking at food systems. We're looking at so many systems that are sort of light is being shed. Again, luminous perception. We are adding light to our perception of an individual, of a concept, of a system. So it's all just such a service to humanity, to the world. And as you say, it became your son opened the door for your service. And as soon as you met him where he was intending to be met, and as soon as his teachings were received, then he could move on to become a new kind of teacher. I mean, if that isn't just so expansive and beautiful of a story and the way we all should sort of receive life, then I just don't know what is. So bless you, Tammy Duncan, and all, and your son, and this whole situation. But first, I'd love to ask you a specific question. So, you know, in your work, well, the listeners might not know that you work with children and you also work with their families. And as you read your book, you realize that you're doing as much work with families as you are with the kids themselves. And we first met Tammy through Spirit Fire at our retreat center. Tammy came with a group of people that many of them she had worked with in distant work, meaning not one-on-one in physical proximity, but worked with these caregivers and held a retreat where she was teaching them the sort of techniques and teaching them basically about energy and how they could learn to create a dialogue and an understanding and become the receivers of these master lessons that are being taught. And it to date is certainly one of the most amazing retreats we've ever had at Spirit Fire. We talk about it constantly. We could sense the miracles that were happening in the room, the aha moments, the expansion, the light that was entering these people's lives, and the shifts as these people came in the retreat center and left very different people. So that's just the background. I'm going on and on. My question to you, Tammy, is, you know, in your work, you come into contact with these moms, dads, families of those diagnosed with autism. And in this work, you're often using words like karma, angels, telepathy, soul. These might be really new words to a lot of people. And do you often need to bridge these words for people? I'm curious how much of your work is an introduction and even an integration of spiritual or vibrational engagement with their son and the world around them. How much of your work is educating these people on approaching the world in that way?
Well, it's a lot of the work because, you know, when I would do, and I don't do the individual one-on-one sessions with the kids anymore because this is the interesting thing. they basically came to a point and said, look, even though you're working and helping my mom to understand me more deeply, with that is still this concept of needing to fix something. And even in energy healing, it's fixy at times. You know, oh, there's an energetic imbalance here. Let's clear and balance that. Let's release that. And so what they're wanting is this 100% sovereignty of their free will, and which they should have. It's God-given, you know. and they're saying instead, what happened was parents became dependent upon me to take care of something, like, oh, he's having a behavior, can you tune in with him and, you know, tell me what the underlying cause is? Well, what that was doing was disempowering the parent to do their own work, you know, and do their own work and tune in themselves. So my work is now shifted, and that's what you saw there at Spirit Fire at the retreat, to helping the families to learn how to work on themselves, tune in to their children, their own selves, instead of needing to call somebody on the outside to do it. So it's more of an empowering that that divine mother within those mothers. It seems to start with the mothers to rise up into their divine essence too, just like I am always on the journey to do. And so, yes, so there's all these things. So I've had different interviews and things, and they're like, okay, don't talk about the telepathy part. You know, that's a little bit too much. This is more of a, you know, like a biomed, you know, they want the more fix-it strategies. And I may not say it in that way, but I may say heart-to-heart connection, where then you'll just know what he needs. So I may say what it truly is without saying a sci-fi kind of term that freaks people out. And I also speak more on the spiritual as opposed to any religious dogma, you know, per se, also because that's how I feel too. I feel expansive in that. And so most of it is educating and then asking people to drop out of their head and their mind and their thoughts and into their hearts. And what does your heart say to you? Because that's really, that's what this whole deal is about, is the heart frequency. That's what everything's about right now in the news. It's about the heart frequency. It's about heart. It's about removing the blocks and barriers and the chains. We think, I'm not going to go on out on a limb, but just real quick, it's like we think that we know what freedom is, but if our hearts are still chained up or behind a wall or protected, then we actually don't really know what freedom is. And that's what the kids bring us, is in order to connect with them and to know and to feel them, we have to work on our hearts. Indeed. You know, it's all about the heart and that heart frequency. So you can, yes, I'm a bridge. Absolutely. I've always seen myself, I've spoken at Autism One, which is an autism conference the last 2 years. And it's all about the biomedical approaches, diets and, you know, herbs and homeopathy and, you know, medicines and things like that to fix autism. And then I come in there with my stuff. And that's where it's like the movement of the heart happens. And I am this bridge. And when people start to see a smidgen or feel a smidgen, like right now I've got an all call out to the autism community to really tune in and remember the first time you saw the light in your child. When was the first time you could touch the divine through the soul of your child? When did you see it? Was it in his eyes? Was it a story that you had, a blog, a picture that you could just see that divinity there? And I'm asking the community to share those pictures all over the internet and hashtag I see your light, as a love letter to the kids to say, I don't want to fix you anymore. I see you. And even if they've only seen it the one time in their kids and their whole rest of their life has been about fix it, fix it, fix it, what I feel and what I'm sort of downloading is that when you can see it once, you can see it again. when you can see it again, you can see it again and again and again and again. And then that light, it amplifies and spreads. And then when you truly can see the light in your child, then other people can too. The teachers, the therapists, the doctors, everybody that comes in contact, because you're amplifying that energy. And so that's how I'm reaching through to the community right now. That, quite frankly, the reason that came about is that when I tuned into the autism community as a whole, it's vibrating lower than the collective consciousness.
Wow.
And I was like, I woke up, like I was in meditation, so I felt like I woke up because I was in deep, and I was like, what? And then it was like, well, of course it is. Of course it is, because there's so much energy of fear, guilt. You know, vaccines is a big issue in the autism community, and many mothers feel extremely guilty about, you know, about allowing, basically giving away their power to a doctor, like a doctor knows better than me, or somebody knows better than me, even though my intuition's telling me not to do this. So there's a lot of guilt, there's a lot of anger, there's a lot of hatred about what they feel has happened to their child. And so that, and it's not the only community that's vibrating low like that. There's other disease-based kind of communities that are low, like that too. But what the kids were saying was like, you know, in order for us to, it to be worth it for us to be here doing this work, we need to shift that, because it starts actually with this collective consciousness, this raise in vibration for the world. Actually, this is a key community here to do it.
I find that I'd love to add that what I'm hearing in this is it is a reflection in the world, and we do see it in the world. But when you've got someone that's close to you, like your child or your family member, it's really you're able to tap into that heart energy, I believe, that much quicker. We can see what's happening in the world, and we can realize that compassion, forgiveness, that the heart, definitely we need to move into the paradigm of the heart. We need to understand that every action will create an equal reaction. I mean, the heart is the interconnected energy that binds us and connects us all. And you can see how much these loved ones diagnosed with autism are bringing it to the place where our heart is most accessible. That's your child. That's your brother. That's somebody that close to you. You know, so you can see that community is doing a great service to bring light to that access to the heart. And I love that, you know, sometimes we forget how simple it can be. You put a picture in front of you of this moment when you saw the light in your child or your loved one, and you say, I see the light in you. Something so simple as putting an image in front of you, or even hashtagging it, putting it on social media. When we've got that physical representation in front of us, we start to remember that constantly. And soon those thought forms take over and they become our new belief system. Instead of thinking, oh, this is awful, or I'm so upset, I feel so guilty, what do I do now? And fretting, we keep that at the forefront of our mind. I see the light in you. I mean, if that isn't illumined perception, then I don't know what is. So I love that you've got all of these very simple tools in which we can use to sort of tap into that heart energy, to bring ourselves back to, you know, this is really a heart thing. And so when we're going to go to a break in about a minute. And when we come back, I definitely would like to talk more about these very different modalities that you use. I also think it will be fun to talk about living awareness. I mean, Tammy, our meditation practice is called the practice of living awareness. And I really find that this whole entire, your book and your entire mission is about creating a life that embodies a living awareness. If I could quote Gary Zukav, he talks a lot about reverence, and that reverence is an attitude of honoring life. And I'm going to quote him from Seed of the Soul. He says, reverence is engaging in a depth of contact with life that is well beyond the shell of form and into essence. So it's that contact with the essence. It's getting to the purest quality of expression within being a plant or an animal. So certainly we can find that within our loved ones. And how wonderful will the world be when we extend that out into reverence for the entire world? So that said, Tammy, we're going to go to a break. And when we come back, I can't wait to talk to you some more. Back in a second with Tammy Duncan.
Thank you.
Funny with Colette Stephan each Wednesday at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This hit show will have you thinking outside the box and riding the wave of infinite potential. Join Colette on the Higher Self Network, inspiring listeners to shine their brilliance and ensure success while roaring with laughter as they recognize the humor of the giant cosmic joke. Visit TheTruthIsFunny.com.
Tune in to Sheer Alchemy with Leslie Fontaine on TransformationTalkRadio.com and get ready to stir up your passions, remove your blocks, and shift into an entirely new existence. Speaker, teacher, channel, clairvoyant, Leslie Fontaine is a transformation catalyst who channels a powerful energy from Source to catapult listeners into living the life they were born to live. Whether it's shifting from scarcity to abundance, from emotional pain into joy, or from illness into health, Leslie will help you step into the true essence and power of all that you are with the help of the Ascended Masters and Archangels. You will not be the same. Visit TransformationTalkRadio.com for show dates and times and LeslieFontaine.com to say yes to explosive abundance.
Transformation Talk Radio is dedicated to the education and awareness of Lyme disease.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Lyme Talk Radio. I'm Dr. Pat, joined here by
Dr. Nusheen Darvish.
Dr. Pat Basile and Dr. Nusheen Darvish will be bringing the most innovative, groundbreaking information, research, treatment innovations, and stories from those it affects every day.
I'm so excited to be talking about this.
We have so much to share.
Dr. Darvish and I are planning to do is connect the dots.
People suffering with all sorts of chronic diseases, it's time. It is time for them to transform.
Tune into Lyme Talk Radio and help keep our mission strong.
For the loyal listeners out there that have been listening to this incredible show on Lyme disease, we are not going to let you down. We're going to come through stronger and enrich the platform for Lyme disease awareness through Lyme Talk Radio. The message will continue, the conversations will become stronger, and the healing epic.
Are you interested in schools that inspire, excite, and encourage our kids to step beyond what they thought was possible? The Access Possibility School is enrolling now. Students in grades K through 8 are welcome to our virtual classroom. Classes start September 8th. For more information about the Access approach, teachers, enrollment, and what makes us different, visit accesspossibilityschool.com. That's accesspossibilityschool.com.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
My dream is to end homelessness.
My passion is living a green life.
My dream is to end poverty.
My passion is volunteering.
My passion is making a difference.
My dream is to cure Lyme disease.
My passion is rebuilding communities.
My passion is helping those in need.
My passion is caring for the elderly.
My dream is to find a cure for cancer.
My dream is to leave a better world for my children.
We all have that special passion, that lifelong dream that drives us to live our lives with meaning and to create a better world. No matter what drives you, we can all make an impact. Dr. Pat Basile is helping others make their dreams come true so we can all help make our world a better world.
To learn more about how Dr. Pat is building a community of sharing hope, strength, funds, knowledge, and information, visit abetterworldcrowdfunding.com today. That's abetterworldcrowdfunding.com.
A morning filled with dynamic, inspirational music, spirituality, and uplifting messages by TJ Woodward. Come and connect with community conversations and awaken your senses. Awakened Living Sundays with TJ Woodward. Join TJ every Sunday in the San Francisco Bay Area Chapel at Fort Mason and live streaming online 11 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. Pacific Time. To learn more and access the live stream, visit www.awakenedlivingsf.org.
1230 WBLQ. Just as I thought it was going all right, I found out I'm wrong when I thought it was right. It's always the same, it's just a shame, that's all. I could say day and you'd say night. Tell me it's black.
Hello, welcome back to Spirit Fire Radio. Well, today we are talking with Tammy Duncan and discussing her book, Vibrational Healing for Autism, a.k.a. Awesome Kids.
And I want to add her awesome book, Vibrational Healing for Autism. Tammy, welcome back. In the break, we were just having this really lovely conversation, and I'd love for our listeners to hear just a little snippet of it. Before we left, I was reading this wonderful quote by Gary Zukav that I just love because I feel so much of this work and all of the work we do is about teaching people reverence. Reverence is a very special word, and it's this attitude of honoring life, of honoring all of life. Gary Zukav, writer, he wrote Seed of the Soul. His exact quote, as I said, was engaging in a depth of contact with life that is well beyond the shell of form and into essence. And that means into the essence of all things, the essence of plant, of animal, of person. You know, Rico, we were hearing, you have felt the essence, the pura vida of all of the planet. So, yeah, tell us.
Yeah, and so it's so funny. I thought we were actually recording when we just did that on the break. But that's so funny. So I'll have to get back to my train of thought for that. But really, you know, what it comes down to is, you know, this I See Your Light movement. It's like almost like a preschool level of like, you know, when you can see the light in your child, you know, technically that's probably your easiest light that you can see. But what it is really is training you, like when you can see the light in the being of your child, then you can see the light in other things too. You can see the light in a human that maybe does really bad, some seemingly bad things in this world. You know, you may be able to have a better time to find the light within that person. But also what I found too, it's like a big message because especially, well, the plant and animal kingdom, they of course are key co-creators in this universe with also with our awesome kids. Many of the kids having deep, deep connections with horses and dolphins and dogs and cats and plants and, you know, all down the line. And what I found is that in order for us to really be a conscious human being, we also need to see the light in those things too, in those, the plants and the gifts that they bring in this. You know, one of the things I love to do in my own practice in meditation is to start with breathing and just imagining that my inhale is the breath and the exhale from the trees and the plants. And then my exhale is the gift back of breath to the plants too. And to go into this space of giving and receiving this life back and forth from the plants to the human and the animals and back and forth. And I find just in a few breaths, it can really help center me and get me out of my mind. But this relationship between the plants and animals, it can't be ignored. You can't just, you know, oh, I'm going to work on my own stuff and, you know, bring in the light and, you know, raise my kundalini and all this kind of stuff without really feeling the oneness and seeing the light in these other kingdoms as well, because they're part of us. And so the kids bring us, you know, or my experience with the kids anyways, bring us that knowledge too. And, you know, that is why I am a vegan, but I don't judge anybody else because of their choices, because it's their particular journey. But in my journey, how I always felt from a little girl was that, you know, if I love my dog Pepper so much, you know, what's the difference between Pepper and a cow? And so that's just the simplicity of, you know, a child. And so that's why I've made the choices that I've made for my diet.
I'm sorry. I just would love to say beyond that, you know, when you were at our retreat center, just talking about veganism, one thing we love, Tim and I are the head chefs at Spirit Fire. And when Tammy decided to have a retreat and we were working on the menu, she said, I'd like to offer a vegan menu for everybody. Wonderful.
Yeah, I mean, we were excited.
We were excited because we love creating, and we love creating new meals and meals that will suit everybody. But we had to say to Tammy, you know, listen, there might be people here who aren't vegans, and they might really, you know, they might not really be able to handle this many days of no protein. And we said, don't worry, we'll get them the protein. But often it's their ideas wrapped around it. And what I know about certainly I was a vegan for many, many, many years. And I know you were using it also as a tool, because your vibrational level and your the ability for you to perceive and register energy, finer vibrations of energy, when we sort of approach the world with this respect and this reverence for the plants, reverence for the animals, and we actually take that into our meals, and we have reverence for the food we're eating, where it comes from, that it's organic. All of that plays in, and if we're going to start to sense the energy in the world around us and our relationship energetically to all that's around us, we've got to incorporate that into our lives in every way. And people who were at the retreat, for food was amazing. I didn't miss anything. And, you know, you were teaching them to perceive, and it really opened a lot of doors for people. So, you know, it doesn't only have to be this sort of there are so many reasons, you know, and there are so many ways to approach our being open to different diets and trying them on for size, you know, seeing how it works. So I just wanted to add that, because it was one thing that was so particular to our experience and to the retreatant's experience at your retreat.
Yeah, they did really do pretty well. Now, I know a couple of them did get hamburgers at the airport on the way home, but
you know, they were open to a new experience, and they realized.
And of course, as you know, we've said this many times, that none of us have actually ever had vegan food as great as that you guys cooked. I mean, it was crazy amazing. So, you know, this is one thing that the kids teach us too, because, you know, many of the kids can't tolerate gluten. They can't tolerate dairy. They can't tolerate GMOs. They can't tolerate many things in their body. They'll show physical symptoms. So this is on a more physical level, what one of the things that they come in their body being very sensitive to teach us about It's earth healing, really, and it's about what we've done to the earth and what we put in our bodies and raising our consciousness about what we feed ourselves. Now, many of the kids eat meat, and so it's not about that per se with the kids teaching, but it is about you know, honoring what we're eating and being in tune. Like when you tune in with the child, they'll eat the meat, they'll eat all of that. But if you really tune into them at their soul level, they really just want high vibration. You know, they want things like flower essences and essential oils and homeopathy and things that are vibrational type things and the vibration. I've seen kids that can totally transform the energy of the food if they're given very low vibrational food, and they're very in tune, and they're not trying to teach their mom something. They'll transform the energy of the food, just like as if we were blessing our food or, you know, putting divine light into our food before we eat it. They'll change it in a way where their body can tolerate it, because it's like, well, I'm not teaching this level lesson about, you know, food right now, so I'm going to transform it, but I'm teaching other stuff. So, you know, so it's pretty amazing what they can do. But we could do that too. They show us that they can do it, but that means we can do it too.
When they're showing us quite literally this vibrational level, I just find that I find it beautiful, and I find it fascinating that they quite literally are almost these sort of barometers for vibration. Where is your personal vibration? Where is the vibration of this meat? You know, that certainly meat has a vibration. How often do we, you know, if we're going to eat meat, do we choose to eat meat in which the cattle were handled with respect? You know, that they were fed properly, that they were loved, that there was reverence for this animal as a cow who was going to give us food. So they're teaching us so much on so many levels.
Well, the biggest thing too is that what they teach us overall, if you had to pinpoint it, which would be to become responsible for the vibration and what our vibrational field is out into the world. Mm-hmm. You know, what are you putting out there? Because they read our minds. I've had moms and this grandma that showed up in my driveway one day taking extra dirt. We just started talking, and her and I just mentioned, I said, you know, the kids sometimes, you know, can read what your thoughts are. And she said, you know, when my granddaughter was little, she said, I was very frustrated with her. And I said, in my mind, I thought something very bad about her. And she said in one moment that her granddaughter repeated it out loud verbally, what the grandmother's thought was. And she said she was just horrified, you know, that she knew, that her granddaughter knew that she had thought such a terrible thing about her. And so it's just the thoughts as well as the words, you know, are very powerful.
Well, you mentioned that one of the videos on your website, you mentioned that your child, talking to the caregivers or parents of one diagnosed with autism, your child manifests your thoughts instantly. And now, I mean, we could talk about this for an hour, but what we see again, if we scope out to the greater, that again, it comes to this response ability that you were sending me telepathically that word the whole time.
Yeah, it's the
responsibility. In my head. And it's not just our own responsibility, but what is our ability to respond? You know, what this responsibility and ability to respond, that the children can manifest these thoughts instantly, that we're seeing basically so much dialogue around and mirroring about not only the world around us, but our own emotional state, our own thoughts about the child, our own thoughts about ourselves, that they're becoming this mirror. That's the part that I just find so, so wonderful about your exploration in all of this.
Yeah. So if a mom is like, okay, every time we go to Target, he like rips candy off the thing, and she's coming into that, and they're going to go to Target, and she's already thinking about the last time it went bad. She's already putting out that vibration into the world that it's going to be bad again. So the kid's like, well, I guess that's what I'm going to do then, because she needs to see how powerful, you know, her thoughts are. Yeah. And, you know, our animals do it too. My dog Cookie, who's a schnauzer, you know, we were driving up the street, and my son and I, we saw a German Shepherd walking right across the street. And my son says, you know, you don't think that if Cookie saw that German Shepherd, he'd be dumb enough to run across the street and attack it, do you? And I'm like, probably, you know. And literally, we walked in the door. Like, I opened the door. He bolted out between my legs, ran across, and attacked the German Shepherd.
Oh, my goodness.
And Michael, my son, we're like, we made that happen. We did. We made it happen. We didn't, like, think it and then be like, no, it's all good, and like send light and like almost see this energy connection, and like, you know, like almost like you can cut the pathway of that manifestation, you know, like, no, delete that, or however you want to, you know, do it. Nope, he did it. And yeah, and it was pretty horrifying, but
we are powerful beings. Indeed, we are powerful beings.
But Cookie reminded me that, like, hey, it's not just the kids. It's like your thoughts are so powerful. Just a quick, even just a something little that you say or something little that you think, it's not just the words. It's the thought in your mind too. It's a vibration that goes out there like a signal.
Awareness. It's just, we've got to live with more awareness. One thing I definitely want to ask you about, because I just want to hear your take on this. We do this radio show and we bring people on the show that sort of emulate steps of the meditation practice. Basically, every single person we've brought on the show is doing a wonderful service to humanity because they're sort of living, in a sense, this aspects, different various aspects of awareness. What we're finding with everybody is that we really are reaching a new paradigm, that there seems to be a synthesis going on. People seem to be ready for this grand synthesizing of so many different traditions, so many different spiritual practices. And in your book alone, you mentioned affirmations. We were just basically talking about the law of attraction. You mentioned smudging. You've mentioned oils. You mentioned crystals. You work with sacred geometry, sound healing, calling in masters. All of this, I think I've read parts of the Lord's Prayer. It just goes on and on. So I would love to hear what's your take? Are we really ready as a humanity? I've got my opinions on them, which you probably can tell, but I find it fascinating that you are presenting so many different modalities from so many different cultures, so many different religions, as if it is and should be common knowledge to be synthesized and used in its most simple but yet so powerful form. So I'd love to hear your take on that.
Yeah, and I never really thought about that too much. I just allowed what I needed to learn. So I will flow in and out of things. Like sometimes it's like, oh, I need to study more shamanic type stuff right now. And then, oh, no. Now I'm working and I'm studying in the ancient Egypt, you know, stuff. And most recently, like the Mayan and sacred geometry, flower of life and Merkaba and all of that stuff coming in. So it feels like what the book is an expression of my journey, of the things like that I've gathered up like in a toolbox per se that I can pull from if need be when I need to. But most recently, really, it's come down to not having a belief system or a plan for anything and allowing it just to flow, like my soul to just provide, because my soul knows all of those different things. It's just my mind, my conscious self here may not know all the details of sacred geometry and all these different things, but my soul knows how to use all of that. So what I'm working on is embodying my soul into all parts of me. So I am just this Tammy. That's everything. And so for me, it's about you learn things as you need to, because, you know, like let's say there is part of the Lord's Prayer or the teachings of the Lord's Prayer, and it has nothing to do with Christianity. It has to do with the beauty of the teaching. And so that's how I look at it, you know. There's an essence in this teaching that's important. Something's important.
Oh, I'm sorry, but it's that going beyond the shell of the form and into its essence. And it's just great, you know, when we can start to approach not only a prayer or a healing modality, but a person and getting to their essence and beyond that shell, we're really cooking with gas, huh?
Yeah, because otherwise we're just locking into I'm right, you're wrong. Like a religious belief is a separation. You know, it's my belief's better than your belief. And this is why we're in this mess, you know?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. It's not to sort of discount one or push one aside, but it's to say, let's find the essence and the beauty within that expression, and let's create bridges. Let's see where they're common, and let's use all of it. And I love when you say, you know, I let my soul guide me. When you said that, I could just feel the light of that statement. I could just sense the light in the room. All the way over here, you're in California, right, Tammy? Well, Vermont just got lit up by that statement.
Yeah. And so to me, the common denominator is love.
Indeed. It is always the common denominator. So one quick thing, because we're starting to count down, I'm seeing the clock and I'm going, oh, we only have a few more minutes. I just want for sure for us to take our time so you can tell our listeners ways that they can get your book, that they can learn about muscle testing. Could you just spend maybe a minute talking about muscle testing? Because it's so important. And, you know, I am an energy healer as well. And muscle testing is just a tool that anyone can learn and use. Could you just give us a minute and tell them about the ways they can learn through you?
Sure. So my website is epiphanyhealingarts.com. And on the front cover, you'll see a picture of the book. So you can click on that and order the book, or it's of course on Amazon and all of that. And muscle testing is kind of like what I call like a bridge to your intuition. So if you don't feel like you're tuning in or able to get sort of these pop-ins of intuitive answers or gut instincts about things, or at least you're not all the way feeling like you're getting accuracy, then you can learn a method called muscle testing. And I teach four different ways in my online class. It's like an on-demand thing, so you can do it anytime. And you can find that in the classes section on the website. And basically, with muscle testing, you can use it to get answers about is something good for me or not? Am I in stress, or is this stress me out, or is this balance me? So you can use it when choosing your foods. You know, does this apple cause me stress? And it's something that you can, it's very easy, and you're just using your hands to do it, to find if something brings stress to the body, the muscle will show a stress response or a weakened response. And if something is strong or beneficial for you, the muscle will show a strong or balanced response. And so you can use it for determining foods, chemicals, cleaning supplies, supplements, herbs. Sometimes if you want to do situations, the only thing we don't do is future work, because that's all fluid and fluctuates and all of that. So we don't ask questions like, does this boy like me? Or is this boy going to ask me out? Like my daughter always tries to get me to do, you know, who likes me in my class, you know? But you can definitely, it's a very practical thing to learn that I think that everybody should learn.
Indeed. Very, very practical. So Tammy, we're winding down. So the show is coming to a close. I just want to thank you so much. It's been delightful. And my heart is just giving thanks. I'm ready for Thanksgiving. Yes,
thank you.
Heart is full after this beautiful conversation. And Tim, thank you for your patience with me and my blabbermouth when I get excited.
You are the orator.
I just have to talk. So Tammy, we're going to wind this down. I just thank you so much for the work you're doing for the world. And just rock on, girl. Rock on.
Thank you so much. And you know what? You boys, I see your light too.
Thank you so much. So thank you, everybody, for joining us on Spirit Fire Radio. Next week, we will be joined with Zakiah Blackburn, who is one of my favorite people. I have so many favorite people on the earth. He's an amazing shamanic sound healer. We're going to be talking about the ground of being. So go to spiritfireradio.com for more information on that and to hear a repeat of this show so you will listen to it again. It was such juicy stuff. Tammy, lots of love to you and to our listeners.
Thank you, and we'll see you again next week.
Thank you for listening to Spirit Fire Radio. Tune in each Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time, 12 noon Eastern, for your weekly guide to meditation and living with awareness. Join hosts Tim Darter and Steve Kramer and discover the ways that consciousness is being cultivated in everyday life. Connect to your day in a whole new way and find the amazing moments in life's routines that often pass us by. Add to your awareness with Spirit Fire Radio. To learn more about Spirit Fire, visit spiritfireradio.com.